Today on Real Radio.
Jeremiah was called by the Lord as a kid. He was like 17 years old. God calls Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to my people. Okay, that's awesome. I'm going to make you a prophet. Wow. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. Okay. Don't be afraid of them. Well, I won't. Well, I forgot to tell you, they're not going to listen to a word you say.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. In the verses we're looking at, the Messiah gives his followers seemingly mundane instructions for when they go out to evangelize. The passage provides a valuable lesson in being dependent and trusting in our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days.
You know what a transgressor is? Transgressor is like your little four-year-old. When you say, Susie, I don't want you to cross that line. Because I got to watch out for you, okay? You mean this line here? You know what's going on, you guys? It's a massive, amazing battle of authority. What that little kid is saying is, I know you're 225 and 6'3", but I'm 27 pounds, and when I walk, I sound like plastic moving. And I can poop in my pants still anytime I want. And I'm telling you right now, you're not man enough to enforce that rule you just laid right there. Because you tell your little kid no, and they go just like this. You ever seen them do that? Raising kids is awesome. You see yourself, you look like that, and you have to bite your lip because you want to laugh. But you know if you're going to raise a citizen in the world that you got to do this right. God told Adam and Eve, you can go have a ball. Mess around, have a great time. You guys can do anything. Play with the animals, swim, have sex outside. You can do anything you want. What are you laughing about? Where else did they have sex? You guys crazy or what? But don't touch the fruit of that tree. What, this one? You mean this one right here? Isn't that amazing? Is that not in us? That's called transgression. Oh yeah? What are you going to do about it? The Bible says, book of Isaiah, that the Messiah, we're going to see this is the Messiah. Not only is the promised Messiah to deliver Israel and the world from political shenanigans, but the Messiah has to deliver the world from its bondage to sin, even transgression. There's nobody in this room today that has sinned so far that God cannot rescue you today. You have not gone that far. You think you have. You have not. Because, my friend, my Bible says, book of Isaiah, that he, verse 12, will sacrifice someone. Someone will be sacrificed righteous enough to be the sacrifice that appeases the judgment of God, satisfies the Lord, and winds up being the salvation of mankind. Whoever he is, he's hated in the world. Isn't that weird? And because he's hated in the world, his people are hated in the world, I might add. Isn't it amazing? It's spiritual. It's a spiritual issue. Jesus quotes the verse. You can't get away from it. This is archaeological fact. There are 13,000 manuscripts backing up this declaration of statement. 600 documents of Homer. 13,500 of Jesus making this statement. He's numbered with the transgressors. The word numbered in Hebrew means that he's accounted in the class of, not the class of 63, the class of losers. You'll find me among the outcasts, the losers, the discarded, the broken, the people nobody wants. That's where you'll find me. Whoever this is in Isaiah 53, you'll find him numbered with the transgressors. This is awesome. How could holy God meet unholy man? I'll tell you, mark it down. I'll just quote it. You write it down. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God among us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, behold, a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of the nations and their governments shall be upon his shoulders. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet Micah announced that he will come forth eternal, never having a beginning nor an end, out of Bethlehem of Judea. He shall be born or come forth. Who in the world, pray tell, has a rumor going on about them who was born in Bethlehem, whose rumor is that he was born of a woman and not having a man's intervention, rumor, and because of that he's been blasphemed, and he's eternal, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem, mocked and ridiculed and rejected. By the way, his name is the chief cuss word in the entire world to this hour. When people want to cuss, they'll use his name. I have never seen somebody pick up a hammer and whack their hand with it and say, Mohammed, that hurt. Not once. Buddha, that burns. Nope, but what's the name they use when they whack their hand in the door? He was rejected and despised of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Wow. Oh, it gets better. Listen now, look. Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes to these bunch of Gentiles in Philippians, in Philippi chapter 2, verse 6. He says, who he, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Are you guys okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, listen, this sounds just like Isaiah. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Isaiah 53, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's awesome. Which leads us to this. He's our sacrifice. Whoever this is our sacrifice. Jesus is saying, guys, everybody in that upper room, they knew the Jewish scriptures. They knew Genesis to Malachi. Guys, I tell you this, everything written will be fulfilled. He says that to them, and then he says, he will be numbered with the transgressors. And then Jesus says, it's going to happen. In the matter of hours, Jesus is going to be arrested, scripture fulfilled, and nailed to a cross. I wonder what those guys were thinking. They were good students of the word. They would have remembered Isaiah's prophecy. They probably had it memorized. You say, well, Jack, that's a tall statement you made. You mean you're insinuating that Christ is the atonement? That's exactly what I'm saying. Based upon what? Based upon Isaiah 53, 12, where it goes on to say, and he bore the sin of many. The word is to carry a weight, a load, alone. You want to know why people are doing drugs? You want to know why people are alcoholics? It's easy for us to pull our tongue out and judge them or make fun of them or say, man, that guy's messed up. Wait a minute, just slow down a minute. Why is he messed up? Oh, you know what, man? She can't function. She can't function without her crack. She can't function without her cocaine. Okay, so what? Why? What are you hiding behind? You try to create a break. You go after the drugs and the alcohol or the whatever. You're trying to find a void in your life. Why can't you be faithful to one man? What's your problem? Oh man, you know what? She's so loose. Wait a minute. Why? There is a why. And there's a question to answer. This is is a life that's been scarred. It's a life that's been ripped. It's a life that's hurting. See, listen, we can be very much like Pharisees. We can fold our arms and say, well, you know what? And we pass judgment and it's over. And we move on to the game. Oh, you know what? She's just a whore. Let's just move on. What? That's a life that, according to Isaiah, whoever this is, cares about. Well, are they circumcised or uncircumcised? I had somebody ask me that in Israel. I was quoting Bible, quoting the Old Testament. The guy would say, are you circumcised or uncircumcised? So, well, why? Because you know your scripture. You know the scripture. And I said, well, my father's name is actually Abraham. So you're circumcised. I just didn't say I was circumcised. I said my father's name was Abraham. Are you Jewish? I said, my father's name is Abraham. Where were you born? San Diego. My mom's Portuguese. My dad's German. Oh, German, German, Jew, German, Jew. You are Jewish. I said, listen, in here, I'm Jewish. But have you been circumcised? That's what he asked me. I said, look. I didn't say look. I said, yes, I am. I am. And two places. The most important place is in the heart. The deadness of unbelief has been circumcised from my heart. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's my God. Are you Jewish then? I said, no, the truth is I'm not Jewish, but the God I worship is. That may offend some people. But I got to tell you something. According to the prophet Isaiah, I'm one of those Gentiles that Isaiah said, the nations, those from other nations will come and worship him. Hello, that'd be me, and that'd probably be a lot of you. Because there's no limit to what Christ did at the cross, fulfilling Isaiah. Not only fulfilling Micah, Isaiah, what about Psalm 22? They pierced my hands and my feet, and the Gentiles circled me and looked upon me. The bulls of Bashan have encompassed me. Crucifixion had yet 1,000 more years before it was going to be discovered when David said that, Psalm 22. What about Solomon? Solomon said in Proverbs 30, verse 4, who has ascended into the heavens and who has descended and who holds the wind and the seas and everything in his hands? What's his name and what is the name of his son, if you can tell me? I know. I can tell you. Jesus is saying, guys, this is it. He presented himself, church, to the world. Before we go to that last and final point, I want to give you this scripture. It's Colossians 2:14. It's a great verse to know. It's a great verse to memorize and to have. Colossians 2:14. The scripture says that he was taken. He has taken our sin out of the way by nailing it to his cross. So remember, we were talking about the girl or the guy, the adulterer or the liar or the thief or whatever. Imagine Jesus on the cross. He's done nothing wrong. And your proud thinking, your arrogant thoughts, write it on a piece of paper and staple it to his knuckle right here, pinky, staple it there. Adultery, staple that by his elbow. Murder, staple that next to his right cheek. Violence, hatred, jealousy, envy, wrath, strife, divisions, just nail it to him. Not the cross. Not the cross, it's just wood. Who cares about that? It's what's on the cross. John the Baptist said to his nation, John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. adultery, hatred, whatever. What's burdening your life? He bore the sin of many. Why are you still trying to carry it? Get to him quick. Religion's not going to do it. It'd just leave you empty. Get to him. He presents himself to us. Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah. Come on, you guys all right? Jeremiah 31. Somebody's French fries are ready. I'm hungry. Jeremiah 31, 31. Written in 627 BC. Jeremiah the prophet. This guy had it rough, man. At least Isaiah for a while grew up in an incredible palace with the king. Jeremiah was called by the Lord as a kid. He was like 17 years old. God calls Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to my people. Okay, that's awesome. I'm going to make you a prophet. Wow. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. Okay. Don't be afraid of them. Well, I won't. Well, I forgot to tell you, they're not going to listen to a word you say. They're going to harden their ears against the message that you're going to give them. That's too bad. But not for long. God's not done with Israel. Jeremiah 31, 31, listen to this. Are you guys sitting down? You're going to freak out. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a what? Why? Why do you need a new one for? I will make a new covenant with the house of who? And with the house of who? Verse 32, not according to the covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. Covenant? When did God take Israel out of Egypt in the wilderness and give them a covenant? When he took them out of Egypt and led them to the wilderness, he gave them the covenant. The Old Testament. If God himself tells Jeremiah, the old is only going to last for a while. There's a day coming, I'm going to do a new covenant. Have you been following? Have you been with us each week going through the book of Luke? Didn't Jesus just say a couple of weeks ago, this is the new covenant that is in my blood? Wow. Let's go on to Jeremiah. Verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Notice he didn't say Judah, because in the last days, when this, and it's starting to happen now, it's not, when you fly into Israel, you don't fly into Israel and Judah. You go to Israel. May 14th, 1948, you fly into Israel. It's not divided. In those days, I'll make this covenant with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The restoration of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39, that would happen first of all physically in a real nation in unbelief. And then God would begin to open their eyes after they return home. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 11. That from all the nations of the world, they would open up their gates and my people will come back home. And I will establish them in their land and I shall place them in their land once again. God said that. You say, what's the big deal? The big deal is, if God doesn't keep his promise to Israel, then you, I don't care who you are, you don't have any promises at all. God says, my covenant with Israel is forever. Jesus says to those precious Jewish men in that little room, he says, listen, I'm going to give you a code word. He's numbered with the transgressors. Translation, when you see me nailed between those two losers, okay, that's where I belong. Excuse me? Yeah, that's where I belong. You want to find me? Jesus would ask today, you want to find me? You'll find me among the losers. You'll find me among that girl that's drawn that line of cocaine. She's lost. She's hurting. She's trying to find a feeling in her life. She's trying to find something to fill her life. She's broken. That guy that just sits there and listens to solid, blazing, blaring rock music, what's he doing? He's not insane. He's lost. He's trying to find his way home. We need Christ. Read the Bible from cover to cover. You're going to find a radical thing. Jesus is announcing that he has come from heaven to earth to die in our place because no man could be found, think about it, no man could be found good enough to die for the sins of the world. There is no such man. Emmanuel, God came down and put on a human suit. That shouldn't shock us. He met up with Abraham a long time ago above the hills of Sodom and Gomorrah, talked with him there. Joshua pulls up with his chariot and says, "Who are you? Are you for us or for the bad guys?" And he said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's host." And Joshua took his sandals off and fell on his face because it says there that he was standing before or on holy ground. When Moses said, "Who do I tell the children of Israel sent me?" Exodus chapter 3, 15. "Who do I tell them sent me?" God says, "You tell them this. You tell them I am that I am sent you." The eternal, self-contained, forever existing one. Jesus answers his attackers in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and he says, they said, we're of Father Abraham. And Jesus says, "If you were of Abraham, you'd believe in me. I tell you, before Abraham ever existed, ego eimi, in Greek, I am." The same word used in Exodus 3, 15. This same one says, "You'll find me where the lost people are." Don't you love it? Do you get it? I'm not asking you to join this church. Don't even come back. You don't have to come back. I don't care about that. God, listen, God started this mess. He can take care of this mess. But let me tell you something right now. You got to get this. What are you going to do without him? Don't follow some man. "But Barack Obama said..." Wake up. "Well, you know what Joseph Smith said." Wake up. "Behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me," says the scripture. Man, you are so loved, you have no idea.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called "The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days." It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, being in this chapter means that we're somewhat nearing the end of this New Testament narrative, with just two more chapters to go. If you've just recently made Real Radio part of your daily routine, you may be interested in our featured resource. This entire series through the book of Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack. And really, to learn the importance of internalizing this first century historical narrative, go to realradioactive.org and click where it says simply, "The Gospel of Luke," realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.